Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Another Atlanta-centric one-hit wonder, although I hate to think of it as a one-hit wonder because I'd like to think that he had more moments with the Atlanta Hawks than just the one dunk contest he won. But Spud Webb winning the dunk contest was one that was brought to my attention. Rusty, who hits me up on Twitter at Willie P Style, that's IEP Style, says that how about all the times that Sean Bradley got dunked on? And there was one that was brought up. I think there was one of those aggregating posts that talked about all the different posters. Frederick Weiss, obviously, who got the poster from Vince Carter in the Olympics, and even the one time that Jordan got Mutombo and wagged the finger in his face. That's one that is a very singular moment. Although, again, Michael Jordan, anything but a one-hit wonder. So that one would not qualify there. Again, we'll get back into that coming up here later on in the program. We've been basically sporadically talking about different one-hit wonders in sports. Sid Bream was one that was talked about earlier. Braves lore. We talked about the Georgia Tech kick six and some other moves of more national import that qualify there. And as we bring you in here to start this final hour, like I said before, kind of going into the break, you know, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of, again, misinformation, and to be running rampant with your mind over the course of those things is it's wasted energy. It's wasted hustle. I think the best thing to do right now is take the advice of some of the smartest people. You know, Atlanta currently has that stay-at-home order that was brought forth by the mayor last night for the next 14 days. Still try to support your local businesses. It's something that we've been trying to tell you over the course of the last couple of days and weeks. There's a website that we have that we put forth, 929thegame.com/lovelocalatlanta, which concerns all businesses in Metro Atlanta that are basically still offering their restaurant services via takeout and delivery, so that you might have another option other than, you know, something that may or may not be expired inside your pantry or fridge. And also you help out a local business that is quite honestly hurting. You know, I've tried to help out as many of the ones that are within a short distance from my house that don't require me to come in contact with a lot of people over the course of the last couple of days. Because of that, you know, had the chance to talk with some of those people and being like, you know, just, hey, how you doing? And, you know, they're feeling it right now. They're noticing a dip in their services. And because of that, there's obviously a need and a want and a desire to make sure that those things are still there when we do get back to a new normal. And I did see this. I wanted to get into this before we went into what's happening. How about the L.A. Chargers coming out and just kind of sliding it in there under the radar after the Rams put forth a somewhat embarrassing logo of their own? The Chargers were a team that when they initially moved to L.A., put forth a very embarrassing logo that was, I think, within a day, snatched back up by the team and said, oh, no, we're not doing this anymore. And so they decided to basically slide theirs in kind of under the radar in the afterglow of people making fun of the Rams. That it put it this way, on its own by itself, looks less than inspiring. And again, it has me worried about the same type of thing now with our Falcons. Please, 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 Arthur Blank, do not screw up this uniform remodel. Make it classic. Make it clean. Don't try to, you know, Nike it up too much. Give us something that we can be proud to, you know, wear the threads of here in Atlanta. I think a lot of people think that the red helmet is where we're going to go with that. I think that's more of a speculation consensus than based off of anything concrete. So don't run to me and quote me on that and say, Willie P said they're having red helmets. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what a lot of people seem to think might be the case. We could come out and have, you know, black helmets like we have right now, but just a different color scheme on the uniform. Again, not necessarily sure myself. I haven't seen them. I have no clue. But I'm just telling you what I'd want to see. I'd want to see black uniforms. I'd want to see red helmets. And I'd want to see a throwback or at least a nod to the classic uniforms of old from the Falcons. But again, That all remains to be seen. That's supposed to happen, I believe, coming up here in a couple of weeks. I know that the Falcons, because of the coronavirus, have had some meetings about possibly unveiling it a little differently. I know they wanted to have more of a public event, kind of similar to what we had for the Peachtree uniform unveil for the Hawks and what we had also for the Kings kit for Atlanta United. But it might be something that's more subdued in nature as opposed to more of a public event, just because we can't really have as many public events right now because of the shelter or the stay-at-home directives by the mayor and also stuff from the governor as well. But it is 1:06 on a Wednesday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on the radio.com app via your smart speakers or smartphones. Billy P here to tell you what's happening.
Peter, what?
What?
What's happening?
So, we were talking a lot earlier about Cam Newton and his release, and kind of more on the Charger type of things. I really find it hard to believe that the Chargers aren't going to open up that brandy new stadium and open it with Tyrod Taylor at the helm as their starting quarterback. Like that just seems to make too much sense, but for one reason or another, Anthony Lynn and the Chargers have not budged on that regard. And because of that, I have significant doubt that there is a real place for Cam Newton to end up. People say that New England might be the case, but there's one thing that Bill Belichick does not do. He does not take chances on injured players. He's not somebody who's going to come out and just take a flyer on just anybody. He wants to have things checked, and I think a lot of the uncertainty right now around, you know, what that physical said. I know the physical that he took today in Atlanta looked like he came through clean, and he said he was, quote, stronger than ever, as well as hungry. That might be all well and good, but I think Bill would want to see him on a football field himself before he made that particular decision. Antonio Brown's in the news again, and not necessarily for anything that he did, but for what somebody is saying about him. Prominent NFL Hall of Famer and television personality Deion Sanders says he's, quote, proud of all the progress that Antonio Brown has made off the field. Of course, Antonio Brown made the news all for the wrong reasons on his lonesome, but Deion Sanders apparently has become the advocate du jour for the wide receiver. In fact, Sanders shared snaps with him, a FaceTime with AB on Tuesday, and made it clear that he is in Brown's corner. He said, quote, "Had to check on my prodigal son AB today. When I tell you I'm proud of him, I do mean that I'm proud of him." You know, we all love Prime. I'm not saying I don't love Prime, but I worry. I say proceed with caution, because there hasn't been a bridge that Antonio Brown hasn't burned yet so far in the NFL. And the fact that it took him failing in New England for him to realize that, you know, he was either close to or adjacent to rock bottom before ultimately bouncing off the pavement leads me to believe that, again, I will wait a long time before I trust that person again to do anything of a significant nature on a football field. Although, as we know in the NFL, if you have talent and you can keep your nose clean for long enough, they'll find you a spot. And because of that, again, Antonio, I'm still not convinced that his playing days in the league are not done, because I still think someone is going to want to take a chance on him at some point, despite all the baggage that he brings to the table. Antonio Brown is kind of like the basement of the show The Office, which celebrated its anniversary yesterday, by the way. It's like how many days without incident? I think we might have hit a record of days without an incident for Antonio Brown. So good job, Antonio. Clap, clap, clap. Facetious. Maybe you're on the mend. Who knows? Again, I don't want to completely eviscerate the guy, but again, it's not as if he hadn't it's not as if he hadn't earned the shade, so to speak. Speaking of an organization that can't seem to get it right, you know, this is a perfect example of why you let other teams develop your pitching and you develop young hitters. Well, the Mets did it backwards, and for the fifth time with this current crop of young hurlers, they will send a pitcher under the knife for Tommy John surgery. It's good news in the NL East for our Braves, as Noah Syndergaard will miss the entire 2020 season because of Tommy John surgery and a UCL tear, the timing of which was unknown because, if memory serves me correctly, they have not played baseball for a couple of weeks. So I think the New York Mets are the first team that I've ever figured out to actually have a player get hurt during a global pandemic when teams were not supposed to be practicing. But be that as it may, Syndergaard's tear happens anyway. He'll miss the entire 2020 season and the start of 2021. And if there is a silver lining in this for the Braves, and again, I hate to talk about any positivity because of all the negativity surrounding the coronavirus, but when you think about the Braves, they're going to have some very tough decisions to make when it comes to the rotation when we end up getting back going again, because presumably you are thinking that Cole Hamels might be able to give you whatever a full season looks like for the Braves if he is able to get himself back and throwing by the time play will resume, whether it's in May or June. Again, the initial thought on him was that he would need to take about a month before he started back up on a throwing program. That was, again, about a month ago. So given that, we'll see exactly whether or not Hamels is part of the initial rotation plans. But you were dealing with a pretty hefty battle going on between a trio of guys in that Braves rotation when you think about Felix Hernandez, what he'd been doing, Sean Newcomb, and Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright, look, I know we wanted to see it happen last year early on. It didn't happen. Kyle Wright looks like a different pitcher. At least before we got to the coronavirus stoppage, he looked like a much different pitcher at the time of the coronavirus stoppage than he was at this time last year. I think you have reason to believe that he could possibly be on the Major League roster, not necessarily to start, because I know they want to try to control that service time, but because of the way that he's thrown this spring, he's a viable candidate for that rotation if they still have a spot open for him. The NCAA earlier today looked like it was going to try to put the kibosh on Trevor Lawrence trying to raise money for coronavirus victims. They were saying that he could not start a GoFundMe, or at least Clemson Compliance was saying he could not start a GoFundMe for coronavirus victims because it violated NCAA policies on obtaining money in exchange for name, image, and likeness benefits. Of course, this is not exactly what Trevor was trying to do. He was trying to do a good thing. Clemson was trying to get out in front of it to make sure he didn't get in trouble. The NCAA has now since come back and said, you know what? We're going to put a waiver on these types of activities so that players can use their particular influence and their name, image, and likeness to do something good. Unbelievable. For the first time, the NCAA, for the first time in the history of the world, the NCAA appears to have a conscience and a working brain. Now, if only we can get the Final Four in Atlanta sometime before 2027, maybe my faith in that organization will be fully restored. I'm not holding my breath, to say the least. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That is what's happening. Earlier today, Dukes and Bell, the afternoon program, talked about some different things involving the league, including Cam Newton's departure from Carolina, with the man they call the Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. We'll play that conversation for you coming up next. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you might be via the radio.com app on all your smart speakers and smartphones. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm going to kill Mike Bell. I really am, because he's gotten me addicted into doing these little mock drafts on the Draft Network. I had one that I was actually really, really happy with where I got Javon Kinlaw, I got Isaiah Wilson, and I got a defensive back, too. That was, you know, it was a great first three picks. Though, again, you know, I'm wondering if this is what Thomas Dimitroff and Richard McKay do. They run these simulations over the course of the next couple of weeks in order to prepare themselves for the draft. It's funny, the NFL and its GMs are in a bit of a disconnect right now, saying that they don't necessarily agree with going forth with the draft on April the 23rd as it currently sits. The GMs want to have it postponed, but the league's owners very much want to be able to own that real estate that doesn't have a lot of competition around it. Man who works for the NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, joined Dukes and the aforementioned Mike Bell early today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the news breaking at that hour was the official release by the Carolina Panthers of Cam Newton.
They have officially moved on, the end of an era. It's still weird, but I mean, I guess the whole world is weird, so there's really nothing. Nothing has changed. Everything is just odd. But Cam Newton officially released. The former MVP is now a free agent, and there's no more starting jobs available.
You think that was coming from Tepper? I mean, a new owner wanted a clean sheet to start with, or just his football decision?
No. I mean, I think they're rebuilding. And, right. You know, does it make sense to have Cam Newton? You know, if he's going to rebuild, I think Cam would have wanted a new deal. What would that even be, considering the status of his foot and his shoulder? Would it make sense for him to accept anything long-term? Does he want to be, you know, stay with the organization as they rebuild under a new coach who's not familiar with? I mean, there were probably a lot more questions. I know they tried to trade him. They tried hard to trade him, couldn't do it. I mean, this was something that by today really just became obvious. And so they did it. They moved on. And now they have Teddy Bridgewater as their starting quarterback and a lot of pieces that are still trying to fit in.
It is Ian Rappaport joining us here on the WaitForward.com hotline. I want to ask you about landing spots. Again, this is all speculation, and we know that. But everybody keeps pointing to the Patriots as if, you know, like Belichick all of a sudden is going to pay a guy $25 million when that we know that's not going to be the case. So why does New England keep popping up as a potential landing spot? Just because everyone thinks they need a quarterback, Ian?
I mean, because the Patriots are a possible landing spot for every player. So, you know, usually that's the way it goes. It's part of being, you know, involved in New England, that everyone, it's just like how everyone thinks the Eagles are involved in every trade, you know, or the Lions. So the Patriots don't have any money. I mean, they have money, but they don't have any cap space. So, like, you know, are they going to go out and sign a quarterback and pay him $15 million? Like, I don't think they're going to sign a quarterback and pay him $1 million. They just don't have the kind of cap space necessary. I mean, if Cam Newton said, I'll take, you know, $0, would they do it? I mean, maybe. But to me, especially in this offseason when system is so important, I would think the Patriots are probably gonna sit tight.
It is Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. You read him and follow, see what's going on around the league. Ian, is it an oversimplification to say the Chargers want to try to make a splash? Cam makes the most sense?
You know, I would say it probably does make sense, but they're not interested. And I know then, you know, when you look at, when you look at the Panthers, I mean, they tried to trade Cam to the Bears. They tried to trade him to the Chargers. Neither of those teams was interested, so they had to release him. And I didn't get the sense the Chargers would be interested, even if Cam was a free agent, because they came out so strongly and said, Tyrod's our guy. So to me, I don't think the Chargers or the Patriots or the Bears are a realistic possibility. I think, you know, if you're Cam Newton, if you don't want to be a backup, then you might just have to wait. That's just kind of the reality of it.
Ian, we want to talk about also, you know, what has now, I think, become the most interesting division. It's been interesting for years with Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, but now you add Tom Brady to the mix. We heard Brady for the first time today in his teleconference, obviously not wanting to talk about the past, but this whole decision-making process, take us back. Were you hearing this all along, or was this a surprise to you when it ultimately ended up breaking that he was going to Tampa?
You know, I would say I knew Tampa was interested. You know, what I had heard was that Jameis was coming back, and I think he was, except, you know, Tom Brady intervened. I think that was set. They were good. They were going to, you know, if they'd had two tags, they probably would have transitioned Jameis, but the more they got away from it, the more they thought about it, the more it became clear that Tom Brady would consider him, the more they went away from Jameis. It wasn't about the money. You know, the Chargers and the Bucks deals were, Chargers and Bucks deals would have been basically identical. So it's really just, where would he go where he could, you know, win and kind of be somewhat close to his family? And, you know, the market never really developed like Brady thought, but he had two teams. And the Patriots also never made an offer, I think probably because, you know, for them it was like, if he wants to come back, great, let's do it. If he doesn't, like, that's okay, we'll move on. I think they ended up moving on.
It is Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, guys. And Rap Sheet, breaking it down as we're still waiting to see where some of the other quarterbacks land, is what Andy Dalton. I guess, you know, one man's trash could be another man's treasure. Is there any market for him?
You know, another one where I just don't really sense that there's much of a market. You know, this is the only time I can remember in a long, long, long time where there are more quarterbacks than spots. Usually it's the opposite. Usually everyone's talking about the bad state of quarterbacks and where is everyone, and you know, some random dude is starting in week 15 and you've never heard of, and you're like, man, this league has no quarterback. It's the opposite now, and I'm sure this will all change and come back around, but I just can't remember a time where so many, you know, good, capable signal callers were actually available. It's just, honestly, it's a little strange.
Check out his podcast, Rap Sheet and Friends, guys. Follow him on Twitter as well. It's Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. What are you hearing about Todd Gurley and the medical? We were all super excited to hear the Falcons were going to do this deal, and, you know, it's 1 year, and he's coming home, you know, per se, because he played at the University of Georgia. But Ian, sure. What are you hearing about the medical stuff?
You know, I would say the knee is it's an issue. It definitely caused him pain last year. I know he believes he's going to be okay. He believes his career is certainly not going to be cut short. And I know last year when he was on the field, he definitely had his moments. He just never had the carries that he had previously. So I think, to me, you know, if you're the Falcons, you know, the reward is potentially great. The risk is kind of like, eh. You know, I mean, he's a former MVP who, you know, could return to form. If he doesn't, then you probably just have an average running back who you sort of just a little bit overpaid for. If he is the Todd Gurley of 2 years ago, then it's an incredible signing. I thought it was something worth doing. You know, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, it seemed like the obvious choice. They had some interest in trading for him before they realized they didn't need to. I think it makes a lot of sense for Atlanta.
Ian Rappaport's with us here live on Dukes and Bell on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's been a couple of weeks now, a couple of days, I should say, but were you as blown away as everybody else about the Bill O'Brien move with D. Hopkins for a banged-up running back and David Johnson? Does that make any sense?
I wasn't. I knew they were shopping him for probably a couple months, and even, you know, at the trade deadline last year, you know, he's a 29-year-old receiver who wants $18 to $20 million and probably would have held out to do it. You know, O'Brien shopped him around, and from what I can tell, didn't get much interest. You know, wanted a first rounder, couldn't get a first rounder. Wanted a second rounder, couldn't get that. Ended up settling for the deal he had. But, you know, I think what happens is, a lot of times the name, in the media especially, the name kind of takes over. But when you look at the play, it's not necessarily what the name is, if that makes any sense. So, okay. Hopkins is great, don't get me wrong, but, you know, giving a receiver a third contract in after a little bit of a down year, I think is probably something that not many people would do. But Arizona's, you know, probably going to do it. And, you know, Bill O'Brien's probably going to keep getting killed. But, you know, we'll see in the end who ends up winning.
Ian Rappaport joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I, speaking of off seasons and at least the free agent period, who, in your opinion, has shined? I mean, you talk about Arizona, that trade and you know, Kyler Murray running around. They went out, they got a D tackle from the Bills. I mean, they look interesting. I don't know if they take a turn and make the playoffs because they're still in the West with, you know, the 49ers and the Seahawks and all of that. But who do you think really helped themselves during this free agent period?
You know, I would say I kind of liked what the Browns did to pick their spots, but, you know, Austin Hooper's a nice signing. We'll see. You know, we'll see if anything more ends up happening there. I kind of like what they did. I thought the Dolphins really solidified themselves. Some really strong, you know, defensive signings. Spent a lot of money, but I think really kind of accelerated their rebuild. I also like what the Chargers did. You know, and I know it's Tyrod Taylor at quarterback or whoever else they draft, but really good offensive lineman, really good defensive lineman, a really good starting caliber corner. I liked how they kind of retooled, and they might not be the most exciting team of all time, but they're not going to turn the ball over 50 times a year either. So I think they'll be better.
Ian, is there any way the Dolphins don't go to a Tagovailoa?
One thing I've learned in all my years, guys, is never assume anything in the draft. There's been so many times where everything we think is the opposite of what happens. So is there a chance? Yeah, I would think there's a chance.
How's your family, man? Everybody good?
Yeah, we're surviving. We got a little homeschool going on in here. My wife's a saint. We're surviving. We're doing a lot better than most, so I got no complaints.
Are you at home now for a majority of the rest of the time, or are you going still? What's your deal?
Yeah, I mean, and I, for me, you know, it's somewhat the same. I mean, I've been, you know, I've been at home. I have a home office, so, you know, for me, it's a lot of what it was. The only difference is you can't really go out and do anything when you're not working. So it's a new reality. It's very strange, but the family is doing well. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That is Ian Rappaport. Of course, Rap Sheet is where you find him on Twitter. He is the NFL Network analyst. And, you know, I find it odd that, you know, what he had to say when it comes to the quarterbacks and their availability, the fact that you have so many of these guys, and again, I know I chronicled it earlier when it comes to, you know, Cam and Jameis, and, you know, for a while, Phillip Rivers was available. He ended up getting gobbled up by Indianapolis. Andy Dalton is still technically available, even though he's currently still on the Bengal roster. I mean, that again, is if you look at all these guys who are capable, I mean, the one thing that has always been the case when it comes to building a team is that, you know, teams have been loath to want to hit the reset button because, like, you are literally just saying you're begging to blow it up, which is why what the Panthers are doing by signing Teddy Bridgewater and yet getting rid of God and everybody else other than Robbie Anderson, who they signed today, it's like, well, listen, you've shed all this payroll and got rid of all these people, including, you know, Greg Olsen, and there's rumors you might want to trade Christian McCaffrey because you don't know whether you'd be able to use him in the immediate future or whether you'd be able to sign him to a long-term deal because you don't know whether he would want to sign up for a rebuild in Carolina. You're seeing a change of philosophy in the way that these teams have treated quarterbacks. It's not good enough anymore to just be competent. It's funny how for the longest time, competence, just straight-up competence, was rewarded in the National Football League. I think that's part of also the reason why you haven't seen a new contract yet for Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones is reluctant to commit to just competence. You want to see excellence. And there is a growing sentiment that excellence is right around the corner with the next guy up there, whether that's, you know, Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert in this draft, whether it's Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence next year. The intrigue for the future far outweighs what the present. And, you know, we talk a lot about the shelf life of running backs falling off the page. I'm wondering now if we're getting to the point where, you know, you're seeing more of these quarterbacks have the ability to not get second or third contracts, and they just kind of become, again, I don't want to say obsolete, but not necessarily as longevity ridden as we used to see them back in the day. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Last call for your one-hit wonder sports athlete, the Mark Hamill of sports, the person whose singular moment far outweighs anything else they did in their largely insignificant career, and why Tom Brady has a job and others who I think could possibly have better seasons given an opportunity do not. This is Willie P in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always available for you via the radio.com app on your smartphones and smart speakers. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Steve Kerr was a name that was brought up. Steve Kerr, who had the game-winning shot for, because he's the, he had a couple. He had the game-winning shot in game number 6 of the 97 finals, and he also had the game winner in one of the Spurs finals as well. So that's he's got a couple in his mind, and of course, he also is a pretty darn good head coach for the Golden State Warriors. Andre Iguodala clutched 3 against the Raptors. That's one. Let's see. You even think about the shot from this past postseason as well, when you think about one-hit wonders too. But again, those careers are still yet to be still decided when it comes to those type of things. Somebody also put one-hit wonder William Hung, the guy who did the Ricky Martin song on American Idol, who was really, really bad. So I did a little experiment during the break, not because I didn't trust you to do it by yourself, Jahi, but only because I just had it up and I was able to make this happen. So I did on the little mock draft thing. I did one for myself and one for him. The guys that I got in mind were Chase Son of LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the LSU running back in the second round. Then I got Troy Pride Jr., the Notre Dame corner. And then we both ended up taking Solomon Kindley in the fourth round, the Georgia offensive lineman. Then I had Marcus Bailey of Purdue at linebacker and interior defensive lineman Robert Windsor of Penn State. You ended up getting Kinlaw first, then Trevon Diggs of Alabama, Jonathan Grenard, the edge rusher out of Florida, followed by Kindley, Shaq Quarterman of Miami, and Darius Anderson of TCU. I have that up and on Twitter at Willie P Style. You can basically see who did it better, and you can go ahead and vote on that on Twitter, and we might publish the results tomorrow when I'm on for John Chuckery from 7 until 11 coming up later on tonight. I might try to do this as well with Jarvis, because Jarvis, I'm sure, this is something that he probably does while he's in between feedings, if you will, because he's dealing with a newborn baby as well over there at the Casa. I also wanted to kind of talk about this a little bit more, because it was something that really struck me with what Ian Rappaport had to say. And again, I don't want to turn this into, you know, Willie P hates Tom Brady. Look, I respect Tom Brady. I, you know, as somebody who was at the game that we don't talk about and will still not watch the game that we don't talk about, it's, you know, it's sitting on a recording on an old DVR memory card that I saved, and I refuse to watch it. I've got apparel from that game that I don't wear because I was so disgusted by that result. And I had a front row seat, like I said, to every significant moment he ever had in his NFL career. Having said all that, you saw a diminished Brady. You saw a diminished player, and it reared its ugly head even in the postseason against the Tennessee Titan team that had him figured out. And it wasn't hard to see that against quality competition, he was severely diminished. And the fact that he garnered the type of treatment by the Buccaneers and the faith by Bruce Arians in him from the Buccaneers, the fact that he got that kind of faith and you didn't get the same kind of faith shown by anybody toward Jameis or Cam, even after Cam apparently took a physical and is fine. Like, that's the part of this that I think we were wondering about with Cam, was that if he ended up getting released, it became evident that he's either not healthy or the Panthers just completely botched this by signing Bridgewater ahead of Cam Newton. And again, maybe they could have gone to Bridgewater quietly and said, hey, you know, guess what? We really want to sign you, but we want to try and find a suitor for Cam Newton first. We want to try to keep it on the DL, and we want this to be something that's handled correctly so that we ensure you possibly another draft pick, something that can come back your way to help you and help us rebuild this franchise and build it around you. Instead, what they did was they telegraphed his departure, said, you know what? We don't really know if he's healthy or not. We really don't know what the heck we want to do with him or not. We've asked him to seek out a trade if he wants one, but at the end of the day, we're just kind of sitting back and not really worried about it. Then they go out and they sign Teddy Bridgewater, which tells you for darn sure they don't want to keep him around. So why in the world would anybody want to trade for him when you know basically they can come together and for the better part of it, or for lack of a better term, collude in the reverse, to basically say, you know what? We're going to make you cut him because we don't want to give up a pick. Even if it's a compensatory pick, that was the best they were going to get. That was the best deal they were going to get. And Carolina said, no, sir. And even so, I don't even know if Cam would have been able to pick his destination rightfully or not, because I don't know if it was going to be anything that he really truly desired. I think if Cam had his druthers and was looking for the best situation for him, I would say the best opportunity for him to start would be in Los Angeles with the Chargers. See, I almost said San Diego there. It would be with the Chargers because they're opening a new stadium. There's going to be a lot of excitement around that team. There are some pretty nice pieces, and I would even argue better pieces there offensively than, say, you would have in New England. Now, you have a better coach in New England by far, and you, lo and behold, would hope to possibly get the ability there to bring forth something. But I still have no idea whether or not you are looking at it and saying, oh my goodness, you would be ultimately impressed by anything that New England would be able to do for you. You heard Ian Rappaport say it. They don't have any money to spend right now. And it's not even like the kind of they don't have any money like the Falcons did, where they had, you know, big money contracts that they could either restructure or just get rid of and saddle themselves with dead money. They don't have themselves that kind of flexibility right now. And because of that, they're in a very unique situation from where they usually are under a Bill Belichick coach team. The most high-priced guys right now, when it comes to the New England Patriots, right now they are dealing with – right now they have $2 million of cap space right now. And when you think about the guys that they have on their roster that are high-priced, you have Stephon Gilmore, you have Dante Hightower, you have Julian Edelman, you have Shaq Mason, you have Mohamed Sanu, who you could cut for nothing, you have Patrick Chung, and the McCourties, who add up to about $10 million themselves. I mean, it's not even that they have a lot of high-priced guys. They've got two high-priced guys, and then they have a bunch of moderately-priced guys. So it's not like the problem the Falcons have. It's that you've got you're going to have to make a lot of cuts volume-wise, and they don't want to do that because if you do that, then you're basically in a situation where you're running out of players for spots that you need to fill. So it's not as if like you can say, oh, you make one cut and save $10 million like the Falcons did with Desmond Trufant, or save, you know, a $3.5 million hit with the cutting of a guy like Devontae Freeman, or, you know, restructuring Alan Bailey and Matt Ryan and getting a little bit of extra space to sign guys on the cheap like that. They don't even have the ability to do that. They barely have the amount of money that they need right now. They're probably going to have to make a cut or two in order to make their rookie payroll right now, because they're just not looking at it from the standpoint of a lot of flexibility. Andrew, by the way, said that he likes yours better as opposed to mine. So thank you to Andrew, who tweets me at Willie P Style and at 929 the game. He says he likes your mock draft better, Jahi. And to be brutally honest, I almost feel like I like yours better. And again, it all comes down to the luck of the draw, because a lot of times with these, you know, if you get down to 16, Clavion Chaisson's available. I've pretty much given up on the whole C.J. Henderson thing. I thought he'd fall down to 16 right now if I was the Atlanta Falcons. But like I said before, over in a couple of shows earlier, either yesterday or over the weekend, he has gotten to a point where his draft stock has actually risen beyond where the Falcons might be when it comes to that particular situation. It's funny every time you look at and whenever I do this shift, some of the things that people post late at night that you can get fooled on when it comes to satire. Like somebody posted a satirical story about Charlie Sheen, which I looked at and I was just like almost read out loud on the air. So that is something that almost tripped me up. And also the other part of this that I find very interesting whenever I do this shift is looking on things like Facebook and looking on places where, you know, people I can kind of track them being online. I've seen, you know, when I was doing this shift in the summer, you wouldn't see a lot of people up and online and things of that nature. There are a lot more people who have either been online or I know have, like I said earlier last night, had trouble sleeping. There's a lot more activity late at night. I've noticed you. I'm just telling you, I've noticed you. And like I said last night, if you are struggling, my messages are open. My ear is open. A thing that I've tried to do with you guys over the course of the last couple of days and weeks is try to provide you a sense of comfort, a sense of distraction, and a sense of not trying to think about all the other bad stuff that's going on. And I've tried to keep the mood light. And like I've said before, I hope I've done that for you, because the time that I've spent here over the last couple of days, Saturday, Monday, today, and also tomorrow, later, actually, I would say later on in the day, has been some of the most rewarding radio that I've done, because this is not an easy time for anybody, but this has been the most peaceful part of my time, not only in 92.9 The Game, but in radio overall. We'll put a bow on the show, some final thoughts, and tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the earlier edition of the Willie P. Experience, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app.